Got to get to our feature interview. We do it thanks to Ryko Filters. Ask Your Mechanic for Ryko Filters, the professional's choice. But this guest, it's the first time I think we've had him on the show.
I reckon we might have had him 2 or 3 years ago.
Well,
I reckon in
6 years of doing a program, I mean, we can barely remember what happened on the weekend. So.
Mate, I can't remember what I just did about 20 minutes ago. So but this first time as a team owner, I'll put it that way.
This is true. So we've got to give them their proper intro.
Tim Slade, Ford Mustang, Cool Drive Racing. This is a brand new race team. Lately I've been feeling so cool. Top to the bottom, just cool. This new team with the affiliation of Tickford have started the weekend very well. Tim Slade sets a new benchmark. Great job for Cool Drive Racing to be the fastest of the Mustangs and the fastest runner. Well done.
Yeah, they had a hell of a debut at Bathurst at the start of the year. Please welcome, for the first time to the driver's seat, as one of the owners of Blanchard Racing Team, the one and only Tim Blanchard.
Thanks, guys. I've never actually had my own intro like that. That was pretty cool.
That was pretty good, wasn't it, mate? Because it's pretty easy. We could do all of the highlights for this year for your team and just lop out the Blanchard, keep the Tim in, and we could attribute it to you. Easy.
Yeah, that's easy. Yeah, exactly. I often say we should put the first name on the car instead of the surname, then I can claim all the results.
Absolutely. Mate, congratulations on the year that we've had. I guess it's been disjointed. It is your first year as BRT, Blanchard Racing Team. Firstly, the question I want to ask you, and we're going to do a bit of a deep dive on the year, but how does it feel being a team owner, team principal, rather than the primary driver? Because you've been a driver for a number of years. So how's the transition feeling?
It's very different. And I assume Jamie's going to have the same experience next year, but I still enjoy it a lot, being on the other side of it, I guess. For me personally, it was something I was always interested in was the team management side as well as the driving point side of it. So I kind of did the driving thing, and I'm really excited and enjoying the new challenge of running the team.
And so let's go back to the start of the year. We kicked off this weird old year with
started
a Bathurst
normally,
event.
At least.
Started normally sort of. And you guys came out of the sheds and you had a ball-tearing start and everyone sat back and went, my goodness gracious me, have a look at these cats. And then you kind of, Timbo, the other Timbo, went into the wall at Forest Elbow. So you kind of went from the hen house to the outhouse. How was the highs and the lows of that one? How did you manage that? Because that was a Barry Crocker.
Yeah, we were four laps away from a fairy tale start, weren't we?
So close.
But yeah, I guess, it was obviously disappointing the way that ended. But, you know, if you go back to when we got home from Bathurst last year, we didn't have a workshop. We had no staff, no equipment, nothing. So just not even 3 months later to be starting our first race on the front row at Bathurst. Despite the way it ended, you know, I've personally and a lot of us in the team thought it was actually a positive weekend, and it's obviously disappointing the way it ended, but we definitely didn't come home, you know, disappointed or with our heads down. We were kind of really, I guess, up and about and excited about the potential of the year ahead. So it was more positives than negatives for where we were sitting.
Well, the thing is, Tim, like, and this is the thing, like, this isn't an easy sport, and you got to go guts for glory. And Slady just did an absolute bang up job, and I think there wasn't anyone that was watching the Mount Panorama 500 that weren't you were kind of the little engine that could, and everyone was just sort of thinking like, geez Louise, if they could do this. I mean, you could even hear it in the commentators; they were just like, this little team, it's their first ever outing, and they're doing so well. So I can sort of see where you'd, you know, take a very big positive out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Like we're the only one car team in the series at the moment. So, and obviously it was our first event. And then we had Slady, who'd basically spent a year on the sidelines. Obviously had the co-drive, but a year on the sidelines from full-time driving. So we're kind of, yeah, exactly, the little underdog, which is where we like to be positioned. And but yeah, it was a massive effort, and you know, we've got a good little crew, and they worked incredibly hard over the Christmas New Year to get the team up and running, get it to that point. So I don't believe it was beginner's luck, and I think we've kind of demonstrated from then it was the hard work and the long hours we put in over the summer to get to that point that got us there.
Hey, mate, Stevie J here. How you doing?
Good, mate.
Oh, I thought I'd chime in. Yeah, yeah, it's been a little of that, hasn't it? I think it was Bathurst about 2 years ago that we popped past. Actually, it was it was probably a couple of years ago, wasn't it? Actually, no, it was that weekend, the weekend that we're talking about it.
That didn't end up so well. Yeah, I saw you in the garage on Sunday morning, and at that point, our garage was empty. The truck was halfway back to Melbourne. I was standing in the garage watching all the others go around, and you popped in.
Oh, yeah. Blanchard was hungover.
I popped in to say good day and try to cheer you up a little bit, but I don't know if it worked or not. But hey, mate, that what a cool livery! I just want to say that the Daco livery. How cool is that?
Sensational.
That is sensational, mate. So, how long's that been in the pipeline for?
It was something kind of we started with Car Track, Robbie Jones, which you probably know. We worked with him. He's been working with us all year. Yep. And we kind of had this idea at the beginning of the year to kind of come up with something a bit different and really go all out for the night race. And as Brendan, our team manager, put it, I want something that's going to blind everyone. And I think he's had a fair crack at that. Like, that's the first time, from what I believe, that reflective wrap's been used as a complete car. Like, obviously, in the past, people have done lines or logos and stuff like that. But it's the first one I've done a complete car in that product. So yeah, it's pretty exciting. It looks awesome under the lights, as you can see. And the only complaint I've had was from Slatey that his name sticker wasn't done, which comes back to that first point. And I said,
just put Tim on the car.
if you can't see your name on it and you finish on the podium, then I can claim it.
And Timmy, this is obviously the best that we can do for our category and for our championship is to have all of these races back to back. And it's cool that we're going to have night racing and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's not ideal, but it is what it is. We've got to put up with it. We've got to do it. But it's also in preparation for our final round, the Bathurst 1000, which you will take off the headset and put the helmet back on and jump in as a co-driver. How have you had any laps this year at all? Like, have you had a chance to, or are you just going in fresh?
So we did the Super 2 round at Townsville with Eggleston Motorsports. So done a few laps, but yeah, not as much as I'd like. But, you know, with all the way the world is this year and the way the racing's been, there's plenty of co-drivers in a very similar boat as they were last year. Yep. So I don't think it's a negative. And we've probably exclusive for you guys. we're going to do another Super 2 round at SMP coming up as well with Eggleston. So I'll have another race under my belt before then. So,
oh, brilliant.
I think given everything, way the world is and where everyone else is, I think we're going to be in pretty good shape preparation-wise.
Mate, I think, you know, that's a good point. And being that, you know, last year and this year have been incredibly hard years for a lot of teams, I mean, with the debut season for your team, you know, I know it's hard to judge and it's hard to critique in a way because it hasn't really been a normal year. But, you know, with the performances that you guys have had, do you think that this year has been a successful year for you straight out of the gate?
Yeah, absolutely. We've ticked a lot of goals that I was hoping to, but yeah, there's been a few things that we probably haven't executed as well as we would have liked. But for me this year, it wasn't necessarily about outright results, which, you know, Brendan and Mirko are highly competitive guys. They get pretty upset when I say that, but it's our foundation year. So for me, it's about, you know, getting the right processes in place and consistency and understanding how you get a result. The series is so close and so many good people in it that I feel like anyone on their given day can jag a good result. And well, the difference between the good teams and everyone else is they can do it consistently, and when they have a good day, they understand why. So, you know, I think the last few events at Darwin, Townsville, we had, you know, 6 top tens out of 8 races or something like that. So I think that's what I'm really happy about more so than the podium, that we're kind of starting to get some consistent results. And I've spoken about it a few times, one of the most pleasing things was when we pulled the car out of the truck at Townsville. To be honest, Slatey wasn't too happy. We were about 20th in practice, and the guy spent Friday night just going over the car, had a big swing at it, went out and qualified second behind Shane in the next morning. I was like, well, that's really encouraging that they're really starting to understand what makes this car work and how to turn it around when they've got their back against the wall, which is what all the good teams are able to do.
And it's interesting, we, on our Facebook page, when we put it up, Nimsy puts up, the diligent man that he is, goes and puts up who we've got coming on the show every week. And one of our listeners, Tommy, and I think it's Tommy from Hobart, I think it is. No, is it Tommy from...
I think it's Tommy.
Is Tom Hinton from Toowoomba? Okay, if it is, Tommy!
One of the Tommies.
It's one of the Tommies. He actually asked a question that he wanted me to ask of you, and it's about Gen 3, yeah. Because we had Matty Stone on the show... or two or three episodes ago, mm-hmm. and then about five episodes before that, we had Tim Edwards. And Tim was talking about Gen 3 being introduced in the middle of the year, and it's going to be fantastic and blah, 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 blah. And he did a very good job of selling it, because I was half convinced. But then we had Matty Stone on the show, and we sort of put the blowtorch on him a little bit, and flat out, straight out of the bat, straight between the eyeballs, he said, oh, I can't see how we're going to run them next year. This is before the announcement that it had been scrapped for 2022. He said, I just don't know how we're going to run it. I mean,
just had a big dose of reality, Jay.
Yeah, I just don't know how we're going to run it. So completely broke ranks from all the team owners. What's your opinion? Were you relieved that when it was scrapped for 22 and kicking off in 23, or were you on the fence, or were you pro mid-year?
Oh, look, there's argument both ways, but first, personally, I think delaying it to the beginning of 23 is the right decision, but I understand the commercial side of it and why we were looking at a mid-season launch. So I think it's going to make it a lot easier to manage, you know, especially for a small team like ours, trying to manage going racing and then building a car in the middle of the season is always going to be very difficult. And I think, you know, we see through the Cool Drive business, there's huge supply chain issues around the world at the moment. And getting access to those, there's just so many curveballs getting thrown at you from a supply chain issue perspective. Mm-hmm. We were already on a very tight timeline, and it's only going to take one little hiccup, which seems to be happening every day at the moment in supply chain, and we're going to be in a lot of trouble. So, I think it's the right move, and it's a sensible approach moving forward. And personally, I think it's better. But I understand why they were pushing for a mid-season launch.
Yeah, cool. And I you've been very generous with your time, but I want to pick up something. F1, do you listen to F1 Beyond the Grid? It's a great podcast that comes out every week of a Monday. It's sensational. And they recently had Lawrence Stroll, who he's got a few bucks, does Lawrence. Yeah, bought an F1 team, got a few, bought Aston Martin. One of the reoccurring themes he has about that team and about his business and about his life and success was that he continuously surrounds himself with the best people. He said that this all the success in the world is, yes, it's partly me, but everything else has got to be the people, the people, the people. During the week, Teco Nielsen, former WAU, went off and did some Porsche stuff. So Matt Nielsen been announced as joining your team. Pretty good head to have around the place, I'd have thought.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're trying to build up a good group of guys. But you know, Teco's joined us in not a BRT role. He's actually joined the Cool Drive business. As you know, we've had the race industry business join Cool Drive this year, and we're really moving into that performance and motorsport market. And so, using his knowledge and contacts to build that side of the business up moving forward. But you know, obviously, he's got a huge amount of experience and knowledge in motorsport and in supercars specifically. So we'll, his role isn't directly linked to BRT, but it's all under the one roof, and they're all in the same office, and it'd be silly not to utilize his skill set. So he will be involved.
Are we expecting him to see him at Bathurst, Tim Blanchard? Like, I know you're saying he's part of the business, but if you have got Teco Nielsen on the payroll and you don't have him in Sydney or Bathurst, I will go he.
Well, yeah, he will. He might be there. But yeah, look, we've he might be coming to Sydney to look after my Super 2 car. But yeah, he will be coming into Bathurst. There's a few things we're working on with Race Industries, and although it might have changed now that Ryan McLeod might be able to come down with some of the border changes from Queensland. But yeah, so good opportunity for all the team to meet all the team owners and really kind of build up that race industry side of the business. So yes, he will be there. And again, it's silly not to lean on his lean on his knowledge, but absolutely, we've employed Brendan and Mirko to run the team, and that's their role. But I'd be
for the moment
surprised if those two didn't lean on him.
For the moment.
Hey, speaking that you were talking about Lawrence Stroll before, and you were saying that he's bought Aston Martin or Latin, and we're talking to Timmy. Are you looking at buying Ford at all, Timmy? What's the deal now here? And moving on from that, are you going to, obviously happy running Mustang, and is that something that you're going to take into obviously Gen 3? Is that what you want to run the Mustang shape in Gen 3?
Yeah, I think so. That's what we've been working towards. So we haven't got anything in place at the moment, but yeah, we don't see any reason why we would be changing. We've had a great relationship with Ford this year, and they've been really involved in what we're doing, and being the new guys on the block, probably been a bit, they've been kind of keeping a bit of an eye on us, make sure we're representing their brand all right, but I think they've been pretty happy, and
good.
Hopefully there's no issues there.
And of all the things that we've got with this year and next year, all the challenges, one of the big ones, I think from you, and possibly one of the underrated challenges, you're going to have your own pit boom next year. Challenges with that, or is that an advantage or a disadvantage for next year?
Well, it's probably a disadvantage unless there's a safety car at the right time and everyone's got a pit. Then we kind of don't have to worry about stacking at any point, but... Yeah, it's not ideal, and I don't think it's been very well thought through, because having an odd number of cars, it's going to be us next year and moving forward. And depending on what happens, while you've got an odd level of cars, there's always going to be someone who's handicapped because of it, because we have to bring in some weekend warriors, if you want to call them that. And that's not the end of the world, but every other team gets to have the pit stop crew train every week, and we're not going to be able to do that. So that's probably the frustrating part. And then, we're the smallest team, and we have an added cost of having to take extra people to every event. I just don't understand that, why that decision was made, but that's the way it is. And, like you kind of touched on with Teco, we've got a few people in the business, the Cool Drive business now, that, have motorsport backgrounds and don't necessarily want to be working in supercars full time, but we can kind of utilize their skill sets on race weekends to help out with that. So that's kind of, part of the reason why we've got Tech and a few other people joining the business, that they kind of work in the Cool Drive business Monday to Friday, and then they can assist the race team on weekends.
Old school. That's what used to happen in the old days. You'd work in the business and then go, out with the Super 2 or T team, or I don't know, the Konica team, and you'd actually work on the crew. Just last question before we let you go, mate. Silly season this year. I do a thing here for a partner of ours, Burson, and we do an off-track update. I've had so many people contact me about this silly season and telling me where people are going, and I'm not allowed to tell people, but I do anyway. Tell me, have you been as surprised this year at the silly season that there were some moves that happened that you didn't see coming? Or could you predict the way it's gone this year, including tonight with Todd Hazelwood being announced?
Yeah, I guess not particularly. I think there's always a bit more movement. You always kind of look at it back in June, July, like, oh, not much is going to change. There always seems to be a bit more movement than you thought initially. But to be honest, the only one that's really surprised me was Percat moving from BJR. So the rest of them, I could kind of see that. That one really caught me by surprise, I'd have to say. But yeah, kind of glad not having to worry about it this year. I said to Slade the other day, how relaxing is it just watching all this, not having to be involved?
Yeah, exactly. Until you expand to two cars, Tim, and then... then you might start. When's that going to happen? Are you going to expand to two in the next couple of years? Like Gen 3, perfect opportunity if you get the rep.
Oh, look, there's ambitions to do it, but obviously there's a bit of funding that needs to go with it. And then obviously the biggest hurdle is, probably the two biggest hurdles, is finding the right staff, because we don't want to compromise what we're doing with Slady's car by moving to two. We'll lower our standards. But then we've also, I guess the funding and the access to the license. But I hear there's a pretty good young kid in TA2 to keep an eye on, so we're just kind of watching him at the moment.
Yeah, mate.
I don't know if you guys have seen him.
I tell you what you got to do. I'll give you the hot tip, mate. What you got to do is separate the father from the son. You know, go-kart dads, you just you never want that. You're just going to have to separate them away, and if you can do that, I reckon he's a chance for the future, that boy.
I've heard a lot of bad stories about his father, and I've seen a few of them live.
You two are just trying to do the mic drop and walk away on me now, aren't you?
Absolutely. I'll tell you what, I'm racing against him, Tim, in the TA2 this weekend. If I beat him, is there a chance I could have a crack? A big old fat bloke to play each other
racing. Hang on, they're reducing the roof line on Gen 3, not increasing it.
Oh,
you'll need Vaseline sponsorship.
This TA2 race just got a lot more interesting, didn't it?
Yeah, they did. Because Stevie's prepped my car this weekend, so if I'm lucky enough to get anywhere near Jet, do I put him in the fence? Do I give him a little...
You know, the funny thing is, actually, Jet's worked on it too, so you might not finish any races.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, dear. Righto. Hey, Tim, we've taken up a fair chunk of your time this evening, but thank you so much for jumping on board the driver's seat. And look, just looking at the results, I know that podium is very, very close. And to get that P4, your first top five in, what, less than 10 races is pretty damn good. And obviously the heartbreak at Bathurst, I guess, probably lit a fire under the boys. So hopefully...
You know what that's going to do, Nimsy? That's going to actually... It's going to be reversed at this year's 1,000. He'll have a good run. So you watch.
Yeah, he's cancelled the bad luck out. So this, you get your bad run out, and then you're all good.
Absolutely.
Well, I hope so.
It's going to be Tim Squared in the 1,000 because you got both Timmy Blanchard and Tim Slade. So that's a T-shirt idea for you, Timmy.
Keep it simple, BRT. That's our philosophy. Just keep kiss method. Keep it simple.
See, put Tim on the window, and you're saving sticker costs too. You just got to put Tim. One Tim.
Yeah.
One single Tim. That's it.
Well, good on you, Tim. Yeah, we appreciate you jumping aboard the driver's seat, mate, and go well at the massive 4 weeks in Sydney.
Yeah, well done, mate.
Yep. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Tim Blanchard there from the Blanchard Racing team in Cool Drive Racing. I think we need to see a couple more little guys throwing punches at the big guys.
Oh, 100%, Nimsy. Oh, and you know, I've had a lot to do with Timmy because, you know, not only have I raced against him for a long time, he was part of the DJR team, you know, pre-Penske when I finished up. He is a ripper bloke, and, you know, he doesn't get enough kudos for what he does behind the wheel, you know, because he's always seen as the pay driver, you know what I mean? But, you know, he's as good as they come, and he's going to be very, very solid for Timmy Slade at the Bathurst Enduro this year. So I think they could be definitely a dark horse to finish on the podium for sure.
Tim Blanchard there was our feature interview, thanks to Ryko Filters. Ask your mechanic for Ryko Filters, the professional's choice.